You are listening to The Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So thank you so much for joining us right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. It is still The Weekend Chapter, and of course, we get to talk to people who are making an impact in society. And the gentleman that I have is no different. He's a man who's doing some phenomenal work in the work of sign language interpreting, and he's also a teacher. All right, so let's get to hear more about the world of sign language from the brother that I have here, and that is none other than the man Gerald Hara. All right, so let me take this opportunity to welcome the brother Jerry. Welcome to The Weekend Chapter.
Thank you very much. Welcome everyone.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful man. So just like what I've been telling the listeners right now, you're a man who's renowned for his work in the industry that is sign language interpreting and also teaching. And then one wonders now, and you get to think, like, how did this young man get to find himself in such a field like sign language? You know, usually it's something that wasn't so common, especially right here in Zimbabwe. And I'm thinking, how did you get entangled into all this?
Well, thank you very much for that. That's I don't know, the millionth time people are asking me that question, but I'm glad to tell them the story. So I think, first and foremost, I'd like to thank God for opening my eyes to a whole new world that I never thought of embarking into. The whole story starts off in 2014 when I'm invited by a man known as Douglas Mapeta, who is currently the founder and chairperson of Sunway Sign Language Academy, where I now interpret and work for, and I'm a lecturer. So at first, it didn't make much sense when he says, come, join me, let's learn this together. And then I'm like, why do I need sign language for? And, you know, back then, 2014, you're trying to ask yourself, if I do this, what am I going to do later? Any job prospects? Where am I going to see myself at? I must confess, where I am right now, when I look back, it's a whole different ball game altogether.
Eish. So this is 2014. So did you and Elder Mapeta, did you guys know each other before this whole sign language endeavor?
Yes. He's more like a parent to me, because I first knew him when I was 7 years old. That was in the year 2000. Doing children's ministries in the Adventist church. So we used to sing in the children's choir and do a lot of activities, Bible quizzes, crafts, a lot of stuff. I was also involved in pathfindering. I did my master guide, very active in the youth ministry currently. And then, so when he told me to take up sign language, I immediately did not hesitate to take it up. Although at first, some family resisted at first. But right now, I'm happy. The family is fully behind it.
Wow. So how long did it take you to master sign language?
Well, from 2014 up to 2017, that's when I finished my studies. I must tell everyone that doesn't know, I have two disabilities. I have cerebral palsy and epilepsy. So in terms of learning, I'm a bit slow. But thank God, because of sign language, I then discovered it's part of my therapy. I've actually propelled up higher. My QS is actually shot up.
Wow. Now, that's beautiful right there, Jerry. So, telling us more about your experiences now, you know, with in working with people, I guess you get to work with very, very, very different communities and different people. And seeing that you guys are also taking this international, how has it been like working with different people from different areas?
Well, the good thing I love about the area that I chose up, it's an area under disability. Commonly, we are looking at hearing impairment. So you're going to notice that of all the disabilities, the hearing is the least looked at or looked after. So when we get to many places, when we start to reach out to them to say, we're here to help you communicate, like ours, like as an organization, we say bridging the communication gap. So we're here to bridge the communication gap between people who are deaf or hard of hearing with their parents, siblings, service providers, employers. It's quite a daunting task, but by God's providence and grace to myself and the team that I work with, It's been an enjoyable journey. Each time I'm told we are going to this place or visiting this country, recently we're in Zambia for the Impact Zambia. It was a whole amazing experience in Zambia, in Chongwe. So for me, going places and meeting people, disability for me, I would take it as a unifier, where you come and then you bridge the family that has been torn apart because of disability issues. But when we come in and then we tell them, no, there is hope and we can even do better when we understand the disability itself and we unify the families, we unify the communities, we're bridging the communication gap.
Wow. Now, that's all well put right there, Jerry. Well put. You know, just bridging the communication gap. I love that. I love that. So in this quest for bridging the communication gap, I guess you get to deal with people from different age groups and people of different skills, so to say. So how do you adapt your teachings? Let's say you're teaching a five-year-old and teaching an old lady who's probably, let's say, in her 50s or 60s. How do you differentiate them?
Now, one thing I thank God I'm Adventist. Why do I say that? I'll go back to Douglas Mapeta. He taught me Children's Ministries leadership certification, how to teach kids. So when now I approach a young kid who is yearning to learn sign language, or even, let me make the example better. You meet a five-year-old who has never learned sign language and is deaf. It's a first phenomenon of its kind. You have never seen this, which I've now faced a number of times, many times. I now have to use that knowledge which I gathered from Children's Ministries on how to adapt and teach a learner. Then when I get across to the young people and to the old people, I've adapted through the teaching methodologies of Master Guide in the church, which have been a very valuable asset I really thank God for, that I'm now transferring into a whole new realm of disability to teach these various age groups. And then, can I make it better for you? I have now adapted new methods to even train those people that we claim cannot be taught. For example, can I tell you, we can now teach a person who's blind sign language.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sure everybody wants to hear. How do you do it?
I know. Everyone's question is like, Jerry, how is this possible? Okay, we're dealing with senses here. We have five senses, right? Mm-hmm. The person I'm teaching has no sense of sight. And we all know sign language is visual.
Mm-hmm.
And then your question is, so how does that work? So for me, I mastered the skill of explaining a sign through descriptive methods in their hands, and they can grasp the sign. I don't know how God does it, but I'm in the disability ministries department. God has amazing ways of helping people with various disabilities. Those with visual impairment, they have got a high adaptive skill in terms of listening. Very observant when they're listening. Those who are deaf, they are very observant using their sight. So all these interactions and cross cultures of their senses has made me to be, I must say, to be blessed to blend with them and to share the skill. So currently, I can tell you of one person by the name Ngabayite Machingura. He's at Sulusi University. He teaches theology. He has a visual impairment. We recently taught him sign language. Now he can sign. I can invite you to preach. He's next to you. He is interpreting as you preach because we taught him.
Hey.
Now that's some serious stuff right there. Now that's amazing, man. That's amazing right there. I don't think in my wildest dreams I would ever think of anything like that.
I know. And I love this year's theme in the Adventist Possibility Ministries. The theme this year was Encounter Endless Possibilities. For me, that's like living it daily.
Now, that for sure, man. For sure. Living it daily. Man, so now I'm thinking, with all this work that you're putting, I'm sure, you know, it also comes with its own set of challenges. So what kind of challenges can you say you are facing in this world of interpretation and teaching? And how are you overcoming those challenges?
Well, number one, when we're coming to interpretation, a lot of people, they still do not understand what interpretation is. Let's start off from an educational perspective. You invite me to interpret in a classroom. People have this common myth that if Gerald is an interpreter, he knows everything, which is not true. The same again, let's go to the health sector. A person is sick, you want to diagnose the person is deaf. Now, if they're presenting their symptoms, when you now come up with a diagnosis, how do I then tell them of your diagnosis that you've made up? Which is very difficult, because most of the things in the health sector, they are yet to be put into science for them to understand. Mm. So we are still in the process right now working with the Ministry of Health. We are doing a lot of workshops, programs, so that we help the healthcare workers to be able to communicate with those who are deaf. Currently, we're now teaching at all nursing schools in Zimbabwe. So right now, the requirement is all nurses that are in a nursing school, they should learn sign language. But here's another challenge, my brother. Mm. Let's go to church. There's a sermon. The preacher prepared his sermon. And then when we get to church, along the way towards the sermon, they'll say, like, we just realized there's this brother or sister who is a hearing impairment. Can you get an interpreter? Then you invite me, Gerald, to interpret. When I get there, I arrive. I don't even know the sermon. And a lot of things in that sermon, I'm not struggling now to think of the science. Let's use the common example, which I'm still working on. Prophecy, Bible prophecy. The moment you go Daniel, Revelation, I'm going to face challenges, because I need to understand, when you're saying a beast is rising out of the water, am I describing a physical beast to the deaf person? Or I'm describing a beast, meaning a country or a nation? All these technicalities are put a mental toll on myself. And the worst part is, the worst part in interpretation is not finding someone to relieve you when you are tired.
Gage.
You see, these are some of the things that we don't think about when you guys are doing your job, so to say. I must say.
Yeah, because right now, I'll give you an example. If it's a Sabbath, I'm not supposed to interpret the whole Sabbath by myself. I'm only supposed to interpret a maximum of 30 to 45 minutes, which is equivalent to a sermon. So if you're doing Sabbath school, there's an interpreter. When you're going for lesson study, interpreter. Divine service, interpreter. Afternoon session, the number of hours, you divide interpreters. But what are you doing? You say, Jerry knows sign language. From morning till divine service, one person, I will die.
H. You see, these are some of the things I guess we haven't really thought about as a church. And of course, still in the church, Jerry, and I'm thinking, of course, you've highlighted the challenges, but have we fully embraced the need for sign languages yet in the church, from your own perspective?
Well, one thing I must say about our church, we are on the upward trajectory of embracing disability. Though the pace is a bit slow, but I'm happy we are getting there, whereby now, every year on the church calendar, we have Add Responsibility Ministries Day, a day of awareness. And so we are raising awareness in many places, though we are still few who can address these things for all churches in Zimbabwe. We want more people to come to us. We impart our knowledge so that the church gains more and more knowledge about sign language, especially because, right, for example, in Zimbabwe right now, I can tell you that we now have a syllabus in sign language for primary and secondary education. And so if the country has a syllabus for sign language, what about our Adventist schools? When are we going to take up learners who are deaf to be able to learn in our church institutions?
Yes. Those are some powerful points right there. Very, 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 very powerful points being raised. In case you're wondering who I'm talking to the man, Gerald Hara. He's a man who's a sign language interpreter and also a teacher, and of course giving us a bit of insight into the world of sign language and interpretation. So Jerry, the thing with sign language, I guess it's still a little somewhat foreign to a lot of people, and you hinting the fact that we pretty much need to teach our young people, especially starting with our Adventist schools. I'm thinking language, they say that it evolves, and I'm thinking maybe it could be the same thing with sign language. Are there any, should we say, updates or updated signs, so to say, as far as linguistic developments, in the signing community? And personally, how do you adjust now to make sure that you are, in touch with those adjustments that will be happening in the sign language world, so to say?
Thank you for that question. Thank you for highlighting that language is dynamic. The similar applies to sign language group dynamics. Let me start from a church perspective. We are still in the process of formulating or doing what we call the Adventist signing system. Whereby, if I'm signing the word Sabbath, it should mean Sabbath in line with our Adventist doctrine. I'm sorry to tell you this. Many deaf people that are baptized into the church, they come from standing churches, and they come with the Sunday church signs into the Adventist church. And most of the schools of the deaf in Zimbabwe, they are run by other churches which are not Adventist. So when they are baptized, we do programs, they come into our church, they are coming with signs from that church into our church, and there's no checkpoint. So we now have a court order to now tell them, no, you're saying priest. Like right now, we have a challenge for the word pastor. They sign priest to refer to the Roman Catholic priest, because most of the schools are run by the Roman Catholic in Zimbabwe. Well, for those with disabilities in Zimbabwe, actually, I think the whole world, actually, they are the leaders in offering disability education. So when they're baptized, whenever they come into the church, they're coming with those signs from the school that they were raised up in, which is a Sunday worshiping church. And the elders, the pastors, the church leadership, they're not aware. They're just thinking it's just sign language. It's okay. It's not okay. So we have a lot of work to do. So updating signs is a very difficult process. But I'm happy with me from a work side of view, from Sign Language Academy. We're always all over the place. We're in different provinces, places many times, and going outside the country at times, also regionally and internationally. We're quickly to adapt, and we have a network of the deaf people. We quickly discuss, share with them, guys, there's this new thing, like in Zimbabwe right now, with a new currency, right? We would ask them, there's the new currency. How are you signing the new currency in sign language than the previous currency? So all those things, you have to be in touch with the users of the language, which are the deaf, which is very important. But from a church point of view, we have a lot of work to do. I'm giving you a challenge. How about we try this through you? How about we do a program whereby, let's say, every day people log into AWR and they learn a sign of the day? So every day we're teaching people some basic signs, not just basic signs, but also Adventist signs, so that the signs go viral and people get to understand. So these are some of the things that we're imparting to the church so that we have an inclusive worship experience altogether.
Now, that's a brilliant idea right there. I think it could be something that, you know, we could put into place. I'm hoping that we can always take it up with the powers that be right here at AWR so that they get to implement such things. And I'm also thinking, maybe, do you not need maybe something like a, I don't know, could there be a sign language, let's say Adventist sign language church manual or something like that? I don't know how it can be created. Is that possible? Because, look, how are you going to move from place to place to tell everybody how to sign and things like that? I don't know. I'm just thinking, I'm trying to think how we can find a solution right here.
That's very good. The good thing about our church, we are one church. And I've been to places where we're in Zambia recently for the Impact Zambia. You meet a deaf person, we're communicating so powerfully. The week before in Zambia, I was in Botswana. We've always been many places. We've been to SA. We've been to many places. We've been to Kenya. Yet to go other countries. But from a starting point, we can make what we call a sign language dictionary for the church with basic terms. Then, because language is dynamic, we keep improving it. We create a channel. We spread the story, going viral. We hold camps. I love it. From our church, we once did camps. We did in Dinego 2016. We did in South Africa 2017. Many countries have been now taking up the thing of care meetings for the deaf to promote sign language, which is very good. And in Zimbabwe, I'm happy to tell you that many campsites now, they're taking all the deaf to their local campsites, and the campsites are now taking up people to learn sign language, so that at the campsite, there's interpretation for the programs, so that by the time the whole care meeting ends, the deaf people would have benefited from whatever is being done, whether it be sermons, whether it be music. And I mean, from my own local church, we trained our deaf to sing, we trained our deaf to participate, to lead in the church programs. So we are making things going viral, though not at a faster pace, but I'm happy the church is accepting this thing and it's going step by step. So we've partnered with the church. Almost every week, I can tell you, if you follow our social media handles, We are somewhere partnering with the church, training the church and the community sign language. So we're using the church as a pedestal, as a stepping foot forward, and then invite the community to come say, guys, come, let's learn sign language. And as they come, obviously, we share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Mm. Now, that's beautiful, man. That is very beautiful. So I'm thinking now, looking at it, it seems like we still have a huge deficit as far as sign language interpreters are concerned. And from my point of view, I'm seeing that people like you, Jerry, it's most likely that you're most likely to be overwhelmed half the time. So I'm thinking, your schedule is something else. You recently were in Zambia, you're saying before that you're in Botswana, and also you've got a class probably that you teach. How do you balance all these things now?
Thank you very much. Now, at school, we have people that we have trained. So by the class, we have people that are taking things up. The class doesn't stop. And then, of course, I'll go other assignments, even to do government assignments like Minister of Health, Minister of Education. Yeah. So it's not easy. Sometimes they can just call you in the middle of another schedule and say, you're wanted somewhere for national assignment. And I just have to juggle up, look for someone, a feeling. And then I rush for the national assignment because, remember, we have a deficit even nationally of sign language interpreters.
Mm. Okay. So walk us through now. How do you prepare for, let's say, an international assignment or a national assignment like that, or event, or a very, very important meeting of that nature? What's your preparation process like?
Obviously, the first port of call is information. What program am I dealing with? Number two, what area am I going? What is the weather pattern? That's also very important. The weather pattern of the place that I'm going to, it might affect my health as well. And also, how long is the assignment? Who am I working with? Obviously, I don't go alone. We go in pairs, 3 or 4, depending on the length of the assignment. So obviously, I don't go alone. We always go in pairs or more. Minimum is a pair. So, and then obviously you start digging for information. What conference am I going to do? Am I interpreting about medical terms? If it's on HIV, like Minister of Health recently, we were mostly in the HIV, TB, STIs. I need to now start digging information. And obviously, I'll just have to ask them, can you give me some information? The good part of interpretation, you may get information and you research about it, and we start digging for the science.
Okay, so moving from place to place like that and seeing different communities and things like that, have you encountered any interesting cultural differences in sign language usage or deaf community norms?
Yeah, definitely you always meet, but for the deaf generally, it's mostly the cultural aspect of theirs is in a way universal, the cultural aspect. Whichever place, although some would then have to conform to the societal norms that they are called on to be, despite them being deaf, which it doesn't make sense to me. I'll give you an example. I went for a lobola ceremony for a deaf person, right? Mm. And you know, in our culture in Zimbabwe, you have that Rora list and you have those items that you're supposed to pay for. Now, most of these things have been shona. In most cases. Now, I can't interpret those terms to a deaf person in sign language to say, no, mafukiza dumbu and all that stuff.
I can imagine.
Exactly.
<I
don't... laughs> Imagine scratching my beard. And then he's looking at me like, why are you scratching your beard? Like, paying for scratching the beard. It doesn't make sense. So, mostly... so you end up... I remember one, I just told him, you know what? Just add up the total of the entire amount. We just tell them we want so much money as the bribe price. You don't need to tell me mafukiza dumbu matikanya ndevu makandins wanani. I mean, and the challenging part, do you know what the most challenging part about that is? When two people are getting married, if they are deaf, I'm not only the interpreter, I also become the mediator for the guy. And then when I'm doing all these things, I'm intermediating, like if they say pay this, I'm interpreting that information from the in-laws to him. And then when he's asking something, I change from sign language to voice to the in-laws again. So there's a lot of work that is involved between the two parties, and there's only one interpreter.
I'm beginning to realize that you get to, your work is very strenuous at times. And I'm thinking now, I guess the next question I would have to ask is the money good? In case somebody's wondering. I think we've got so many guys out there who are thinking, I could do this whole sign language thing. And with the amount of work that I can see you're putting in, I guess besides just telling those who are, who would want to take part, what would you want to tell them? The thing is, how much are you guys? Are you guys making money out of this?
Okay, thank you for that question. I am making money out of this. That's my job.
Okay, now straight up, man. I like your honesty.
I don't need to be, I have to be honest with you. I'm making money. And I'm asking myself, when will other, especially young people right now, oh, let me be diabolical or ridiculous a bit. And people are saying, okay, where are you? Because where I am, can I challenge the country right now?
Mm-hmm.
We have more than 5,000 schools with teachers. All these teachers need to learn sign language. We have nursing schools in Zimbabwe. All nurses are to learn sign language. Am I going to do that all alone? No, we need more people on the ground. So I'm telling you guys, these are job opportunities. Come, take this up, deploy you, train people, make a living like I'm doing. Because we are very few. We are very few. We are looking for people. You know me, you have been on my social media platforms. I'm going place to place training people. Why? We need people for this.
Hey. So, in case somebody's out there wondering what to do with themselves, I guess this is an opportunity. Jerry's saying it. We need people. They're taking vacancies. You know, the jobs are more than enough. And you will make money from what he has said. I think this is pretty much an unentered area, man, that is out there and is...
And you know the funny thing, what I've just learned right now is when you do something that has not been done before, right, and you explore that path, whoever comes into that path will have to be referred to you as the guide to guide through the same path again. So whilst it's still rife and kind of new, embrace it, take it up so that you make a name for yourselves. I'll give you an example. I'm just 33 years old. I was part of the National Ministry of Education Sign Language Syllabus team for the country. I was one of the interpreters. We were four interpreters. Imagine, four. And I was one of them. Right? Ministry of Health, we're doing trainings. I was one of the core chief facilitators together with Mr. Mapeta. The two of us were the chief facilitators. And I'm the core facilitator. I'm just 33. Many people that we're deploying now, they are under the age of 30. That we're deploying to say, go do this. Go do this, go to ZITF, go for a national assignment, go to this place, go and do this. Many of them, they are young people.
And there you are, you're probably crying and thinking, eish, I don't have a job. I've got nothing.
Come with what you have. Let's talk. Let's empower you. People need your skill. I'll repeat these words. People need your skill. They called us in Zambia. They called us in Zambia. Gerald, come. We need your skill. They called me in Botswana. Gerald, come. We need your skill. Right now, we want it in many countries. We're just trying to, now sort out our schedules. Now, what do we do? But obviously, home first. So some of the international assignments, we're shoving them off. Why? Home first. Zimbabwe first.
That's amazing, man. That is amazing. So much work to do, but yet few people. And I guess if you're listening in, you need to get in touch with the man, Jerry. And I'm sure I'll make sure that he leaves his details before we end this conversation so that you can get in touch with him in case you are interested in doing sign language. And somebody could be asking Jerry one vital question. What are the qualifications? Do I just have to come as I am, or maybe I need 5 O-levels or a degree or a diploma? What do I need?
Standard requirement is 5 O-levels. That's the standard requirement. But there are cases whereby you are maybe a sibling who has a relative who's deaf.
Mm-hmm.
When we're not helping you, we don't need your qualifications because you're supposed to help the family. But for the professional jobs, like you want to interpret in the courts, you want to interpret in the health sector, for the president, those ones now, as you go up, those need basic qualifications like your 5-0 levels and your diploma as you go. But basic entry, your 5-0s, welcome. Let's start learning. But for other critical things like helping the families and other things, even like as we go, it's important. We remember I was talking about bridging the communication gap. The qualifications are key for the other key areas if you want to delve into other areas, especially that need your qualification, because they're going to ask, give us your qualifications. There's going to be our qualification plus your background qualifications. You're solid. You're good to go. Those who have done other qualifications, like you've done counseling, psychology, health, you're a teacher, you did education, special needs, any kind of profession, you also need sign language. Come to us. We give you the skill. You're a whole different person altogether.
Interesting. Interesting right there. And I'm hoping that somebody out there is being equipped, you know, by this information. So, of course, being a man who's well-traveled, JD, I'm thinking, can there be a moment that you can say this one is one of those, should we say, outstanding moment, memorable moment, you know, in your, or should we say success story, you know, in your journey as a sign language interpreter?
There's so many, where do I start from? But, okay, I'll just pick a few. One of my first ones, when I just finished my studies, was interpreting for Randy Skeet at HICC 2017. A whole 3 weeks interpreting for that man of God. That was a whole level of experience whereby you have a preacher, he's quoting King James Version from his head, he's preaching powerfully, and I'm interpreting for such an international figure. That to me was my, I think I would call it one of my breakthrough moments into the interpretation field. And then obviously we have the recent ones. During COVID, I was interpreting for my government, through National AIDS Council. I was seen on TV three times a day, giving information about COVID-19. Another person is giving verbal information. I'm interpreting. I went as far as interpreting for the First Lady. So that for me was like, wow, is this me? and then you look back where I came from when I started the journey. That has been tremendously amazing. Also, attending ICASA last year was one of the biggest international highlights for me, being an interpreter there, showcasing the work of sign language in the health ministry to the whole world. ICASA, an international conference in Zimbabwe. That was a whole ball game altogether. We trained also the Parliament of Zimbabwe. Those were part of my key milestones. And recently, I can't miss out this one. The sign language syllabus in Zimbabwe, I'm part of that. And I know when you're talking about the syllabus, my name is among the first people to be part of those who drafted and came up with that. My name is there. So that for me was one of my major milestones.
Wow. Beautiful, man. You're making history right there. And I'm sure a lot of young people are inspired by the work that you're doing, Jerry. So as we go to a conclusion, what could be your last words to somebody who's listening to you right now?
Number one, we need to bridge the communication gap. At times when you are hearing this interview, it may not make sense. You realize it after, when you get to a situation whereby you need to assist this person but cannot hear you because he or she is deaf or hard of hearing. So this skill is very important. Number two, take up this skill to further what you already have, or maybe you do not have any other skill. Take it up as your first skill. If you have other skills, take it up as an additional skill. You become more relevant and more inclusive. And the good news is, as San Mai Sign Language Academy, Gerald Harris speaking, we are here for you to make the change in Zimbabwe and beyond.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So before you go, how can people get a hold of you? Someone would be interested in sign language, you know, with our international audience. Some people may be saying, we are not in Zimbabwe, but we want to do this. How do people, both in Zimbabwe and outside, get in touch with Gerald Ara?
Okay, my number, phone number is +263 784 281 237. I'll take it again. +263 0263-784-281-237. That's my mobile number. On Facebook, Gerald Hara, that's where you'll find me. Then my number, texting, calling, you also get me there. My email address, geraldhara@gmail.com. Gerald Hara, G-E-R-A-L-D, Hara, H-A-R-A, @gmail.com. That's where you can find me.
Okay, so that's a man, Gerald Hara, right there, in case you want to get in touch with him. Make sure that you do get in touch with him so that you can learn more about the world of sign language interpreting. Beautiful, beautiful story right there. Inspiring, groundbreaking, beautiful of hard work that the man is putting in. And it's so phenomenal. So we can only do nothing but to leave this moment, you know, to thank the man for coming through to the Weekend Chapter. So, Jerry, man, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. For sure, man, for sure, for sure. We need that sign of the day. We need to learn a lot more about sign language, because we understand that, like we did say, it is in an entered area and a lot of people need to learn. So it has been the Weekend Chapter, Movers and Shakers. We're talking to the man, Gerald Hara. He's a sign language interpreter and teacher. And wow, what a phenomenal, phenomenal story we've just heard. So stay with us right here on the Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.